Another important point is from the start, the aristocrats who displaced the king, who turned the king into a priestly office and took power, they themselves did not stay in control of these republics for very long. The iron technology helped. And with the iron technology, certain innovations in warfare. One is the development of what I mentioned earlier, the hoplite, the heavily armored infantrymen. And this was a warrior who fought with a heavy shield, a hoplon, which covered half of his body. It was a bronze shield, you know, about 3 feet across. Fought with a long spear, 8 to 10 feet long, which was thrust. Had a helmet with covering his ears and face. It just had these little slits. Breastplate, backplate, greaves that covered his body up to his knees. And as a form of equipment, made absolutely no sense for an individual warrior. The only way for a hoplite phalanx to work was if you fought as a group. And that meant men would line up in which the shields would overlap. So half of my shield would be protecting the fellow to my left and half to the right. Obviously, everyone's going to be right-handed, you know, in order for this thing to work. And furthermore, you had to advance at a very slow pace forward, and you had all these kids playing flutes, and we have depictions of this on vases that have come through, especially from Etruscan tombs. And you would, at the very end of the advance, you might pick up the pace, and wham, you would hit there and smash away with your spear for 10, 15 minutes. And in the course of the fighting, if you slew an opponent, you would try to press in and break up the enemy formation, which was also fighting as a hoplite organization. And if that happened to you, your task was to move forward and hold your place in line. And this type of fighting, which depended very heavily on communal cooperation, fighting with these iron and bronze weapons, meant that you needed to have citizens who were willing to do this. Citizens who knew they could depend on their relatives, on their neighbors, men who voted with them in the assembly, and who knew that when they marched into battle, they would either win together or die together. Because if that phalanx broke, if they broke through there, the first thing that would happen is they would start chopping away. You toss your shield, you try to run away, you'd get cut down. And in these battles, the loser would lose 300, and the victor would lose 2 or 3. And so that type of infantry fighting, that heavily armed infantry, which proved invincible on the battlefields in the later archaic and classical age, really depended very much on the political institutions of the polis. One was premised on the other. And the fact that you no longer depended on cavalry or chariots broke, to some extent, the aristocratic hold, began to spread the franchise. And the classic state, the quintessential state that achieved that type of hoplite phalanx and good government was Sparta. Now, the Spartans had a very restricted citizen body. Most of the people within the Spartan state, and that would be the lower 40% of the Peloponnesus, which was controlled by the Spartan state, were independent status. Many of them were helots, in effect slaves assigned by the state to the citizens. Others were perioiki, that is, they lived in villages, they were free but had no political rights. But within the Spartan citizen body, those citizens had an equality and called themselves equals, homonoi. In Athens, which through a peculiar set of political reforms in the 6th century BC, the franchise was extended even farther. That was all adult males had not only full citizen rights in the assembly to vote, but actually in time subjected the council to its will. By the end of the 6th century BC, Athens has passed over into democracy. And this democracy is assisted by the fact that the Athenians developed as their prime military function a navy. A navy that required on the rowing of warships, the so-called trireme, into battle. And in order to row one of these ships, you needed an enormous amount of skill and discipline, just as you did on the battlefield with the hoplites. Now, if you've ever seen these movies with slaves chained, you know, to their oars and rowing away, one thinks of Ben-Hur, for instance. Well, the Romans might do that in some instances, but really most oarsmen had to be trained professional citizen soldiers, in effect. They're either professionals hired or their citizens. In order to carry out the complicated rowing and ramming techniques, you needed citizens. Well, it's quite easy for someone to show up and learn how to be an oarsman if he doesn't have to provide the military equipment, and therefore anyone who was of the proper physical strength in Athens could be enrolled in the Navy, and Athens launched great fleets of 200 ships. And each ship required 170 men for a crew, so do the math. You're talking on the order of 35,000 citizens. That puts you in the order of a democracy.